Tonight is, I'm actually going to try to teach a lesson on forgiveness, lesson number 17 tonight, forgiveness. My name is Ron. I'm a grateful believer, and I'm a recovering alcoholic, to boot. Hello, everybody. I'd like to start with a prayer after all that. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to teach your word. Help me to just get out of the way and teach what you, be the channel for your words, for your wisdom, and for what you want to say. It's an important message tonight, and I just hope to get that out, the enormity of forgiveness and how big of a deal. And it's just one of your main things. And I love you and thank you so much for that. And just be with me and help me tonight and be with everyone here. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. That was the long version. The short version just goes, help! Okay, anyway. So we're coming here, driving here tonight, and my wife decides to tell me about what she put on the credit card today. And so I go into my sullen, silent brood in the car, and then she reminds me that my lesson tonight is on forgiveness. So God does have a sense of humor. And then we went on from there. We had about five more of those before we got here. And I thought, boy, this is hard stuff, you know. Easy to tell everybody else to forgive, but so if you're new tonight, just so you know, we teach every other week is a teaching and a lesson, and then every week other week is a testimony from somebody in CR who has gone through the steps and has a new life and a blessed life, and tells you about that, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So we go back and forth. There's 25 lessons altogether, which are from our steps and principles. And we have a step study that comes up on a real regular basis. And I promote that you watch for that and you take that step study. It's a big part of what we do here. It's a big part of our recovery. And it's what we teach on a part of it here. But you really get close and learn and get accountability partners and sponsors, and it's part of the deal. So I just highly recommend that to you and whatnot. So let's go ahead and read tonight Principle 6, Step 8, and Step 9, if we will, please. Relationship. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Make amends for harm I've done to others. Accept when to do so would harm them or others. Happy are the merciful, Matthew 5, 7. Happy are the peacemakers, Matthew 5, 9. Step 8. We made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Do to others as you would have them do to you, Luke 6, 31. Step 9, we made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. So briefly, gifts at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5, 23, 24.
Okay.
So on Principle 6, we're going to continue to evaluate all of our relationships. 2 weeks ago, we had a very good lesson on making amends and some on forgiveness, and tonight we're going to concentrate on forgiveness. Step 8, I also would like to put back up there. I'm going to bring Step 8 back up a couple times tonight because step eight is very key. It's part of the process, forgiving and making amends. It's hard stuff, but it pays off. It is so well. But step eight is where we pray. If we can't do it or feel that we can't do it, then step eight is our saving grace, where we pray till we are willing, you know, to do these things. And we don't have to, you know, we can take the time that it takes. We don't want to rush things. That's why we have accountability partners and sponsors to talk about these things. And step eight, we pray and work at and go through the process until we can do these things. And the thing is to not to give up and to keep at it. If we have to do a little bit and then do more and whatever, that's the whole thing. So there's no point to rushing to step nine to do the deal, you know, that toe to toe and face to face, eyeball to eyeball with other people. It's tough. So pray it up and work the process and do it. So I mean, I love step eight, and step eight. You work step eight till you get to step nine. They're numbered for a reason. So just wanted to point that out. Forgiveness is huge. It's huge with our walk with God, and it's huge in our recovery. If we don't do this step, make our amends and offer forgiveness to people who've harmed us, it can stall our recovery. It can stop our recovery. It can cause relapse in the future. The thing is here to create a base that we go from, and we want to do these things. We want to do them well. We want to do them right. And again, there's no point to rushing through any of this stuff, and that's why we really promote accountability partners and a sponsor who has been through all of this before and has done it and can help you walk through these things. Right now, I'd like everybody to stand up, and I would like to say the Lord's Prayer, if we would, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Love that power. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, that's what he told them. That's the prayer. And that little prayer, I mean, that's it, and it's huge. It covers a lot of things in those short sentences. And right in the middle of that is forgiveness, mentioned twice. And so again, as I've been studying and preparing for this lesson, I have just noticed in most sermons, teachings, the forgiveness and redemption and that principle come up over and over. And it's just the main theme that rings out throughout the Bible, through our Christian walk, and through recovery. And so again, that's why this is a key deal. And don't want to sell it short. I want to read also what Jesus said immediately after he taught that prayer, and said it, and these words came out. Matthew 6:14-15, and I quote: "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, you know, that's pretty heady stuff. It's pretty clear. It's pretty concise. Pretty direct. It's kind of no ifs, ands, or buts. No excuses. You know, it's just there. So, again, we come in here to see our broken people. We come in, we're hurt, we've had things happen to us in our childhood, growing up as kids. We're trying to figure out life, we're innocent, and we get abused sometimes. We have things happen. Sometimes we get abused and we abuse others, and stuff happens to us that we carry the rest of our lives, and it can hurt, and we can bury it down in there, and we're never going to bring it to the surface again, and it can be some pretty hideous stuff. And that's why I say this simple command, hard to do sometimes for different things. Kind of a joke tonight driving over here, but it was perfectly clear. I mean, I'm a little upset about something, and I'm told the lesson tonight's on forgiveness, and I'm like, oh wow, yeah, thank you for reminding me. But it's tough, you know. It's like I want to be upset, but as soon as I even have that thought, I really didn't even verbally forgive. I just forgave in here, and I felt better. I mean, it just kind of takes the wind out of the sails. And hugely, you know, the larger the offense, the larger that feeling of joy and that peace that comes upon you. And so I just want to really promote that. We come in here, we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, which is said, that we will come. Some people, well, that's a lot of courage to come through those doors. Well, maybe so. Maybe it's just, you know, I'm here, I'm ready. It's the last house on the block. I don't care. Whatever it takes, you know, I'm here ready to go. I call these tools. These are all tools, these steps, these things we learn, these concepts, these amends, the forgiveness. These are all tools in our toolkit that we learn when we come here, to the steps and the principles, and each just being here every week, talking about in a meeting what we talk about and getting things out, and other people hear it and can open up and be honest and say, oh my gosh, I'm home. They understand. And so we learn these tools, and if we do them, they work. I mean, that's why these steps work, why they're in a lot of different organizations, and they're powerful. And they're the tools that we do. To me, the forgiveness is like the hammer. I mean, it's the big one, or the anti-hammer, maybe, would be a better way. We're kind of done, hopefully, you know, beating everything up and whatnot, but powerful stuff. Three kinds of forgiveness on your sheet there. There's three kinds of forgiveness that we'll talk about tonight. The first one is, have you accepted God's forgiveness? Have you accepted Jesus' work on the cross? Jesus paid for our sins. We just sung about it. He pays for our sins no matter how grievous they are, no matter what we do. He died on the cross and paid the price, and all we have to do is ask. It's free. It's a free gift. It's grace, mercy. And have we accepted that? Do we get that concept? Have we really done that? That's the first kind, and probably the most important. At least if we call ourselves a Christian, if Jesus is our higher power, which is what celebrates all about, then that's key. And we do that first. I'd like to read Romans 22:25. I think I always add a verse or two to what they have in the thing, because it seems like it picks up another good concept. But Romans 3:22-25. God puts people right through their faith in Jesus Christ. God does this to all who believe in Christ, because there is no difference at all. Everyone has sinned and is far away from God's saving presence. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Jesus Christ, who sets them free. God offered him so that by his sacrificial death, he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. You know, if you kind of haven't dealt with that or whatever, I just put it together, and I'm sorry to read so much here, but I don't want to miss something. And I'm a senior citizen now, so the memory just is kaput. So I'm going to read. Sorry. So I put this little prayer together, which I think hopefully covers it. Jesus, I ask you to forgive all my sins. I accept and believe in you and your work on the cross. You are the true Christ and sacrificial Lamb. You died on the cross to pay the debt for my sins and make me whole and sinless in the sight of God. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for my life. And it's a simple prayer, that or something similar, to just accept Jesus' gift, his work on the cross. And so I hope everybody will do that. Second kind of forgiveness. Have you forgiven others who have hurt you? From that big hurt or abuse, that one I talked about earlier, that we're never going to let see the light of day, to that guy on the freeway that cut you off, you know. From the big one down to the little one, it's not easy. It's a process again. It's step 8. We pray about it and work at it till we can get there. But it's important enough to not give up and to continue with and to work. And by giving, the key too is by forgiving that big hurt and that person that just did whatever. It's not condoning. It's not approving. It's not letting them off the hook. It's just cleaning our side of the street. It's just taking care of what we can take care of. And again, this has been said a million times, but it's like me taking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know, I hate it. I don't like it. I'm never going to forgive it. But when I have that attitude, then I just continue that negative in me, that burning and anxiety and bitterness. And it's just not good. I mean, it's just, and God talks about it and teaches us to forgive. No ifs, ands, or buts. So we clean up our side of the street and do our part of it. And then we let God be God and do his part of it. God takes care of it. God's the judge. God's got our back, so to speak. We have to believe that, and we have to do what we're asked to do. And if we will do that and trust God, do his commandments, it's amazing. I mean, it does. It's like God says, his ways are not our ways. And that's so right. By nature, we want to do just the opposite of the right thing, you know, as our humanity and our flesh. I'm going to read Romans 12, 17, 21, which addresses this. Again, I've added a couple. Romans 12, 17, 21, and I quote, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. For you, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's a lot. That's a lot in that. And again, that's it's hard to do, but that's, you know, like I say, we'll do what we can do and let God do what he does. Do you need to forgive God? You holding God, you know, responsible for, I mean, I did. As soon as I believed in God and he was all omnipotent and made everything and did everything, I think, well, thank you. Then you're the, you know, you're the blame for everything then. All the crud that's happened in my life, it's all your fault. I mean, I kind of hung on to that for a long time. And it's easy, you know, to blame God for what we've just been talking about, that big hurt that was done to us. A million other things, a lost loved one that we prayed for, a lost promotion we didn't get, the abuse, all kinds of stuff. And we hold God responsible. We blame God when, you know, there's a whole nother Satan out there also that doesn't get the credit sometimes for some of this stuff, or just us in the flesh and whatnot, and others. God gave us free will. We're not puppets, and with that free will, that's purposeful, so that, you know, you live your life, but it's not God's fault, and God needs to be taken off the hook, and think about that. Forgive, if that's in there, then just forgive God for that, and then turn right around and ask for forgiveness for, you know. I'm going to read now, too. I'm going to finish this up with a quote by John Baker, which I think just what he had put in the lesson book. I think it's important, and I'm going to read this again. John Baker, the founder of Celebrate Recovery. If you've been the victim of sexual abuse, physical abuse, or childhood emotional abuse or neglect, I am truly sorry for you, for the pain you have suffered. I hurt with you. But you will not find the peace and freedom from your perpetrators until you are able to forgive them. Remember, forgiving them in no way excuses them for the harm they caused you, but it will release you from the power they have had over you. I have rewritten steps 8 and 9 of the 12 steps for you. Step 8. Make a list of all persons who have harmed us and become willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators, as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize we've also harmed others and become willing to make amends to them. Step 9. Extend forgiveness to ourselves and to others who have perpetrated against us, realizing this is an attitude of the heart, not always confrontation. Make direct amends, asking forgiveness from those people we have harmed, except when to do so would injure them or others. Unquote. So. So that's the wrap on the second kind of forgiveness. The third kind of forgiveness is, have you forgiven yourself? Again, this can be huge. We can feel the guilt and shame, indecency of things we've done in the past. Maybe we're that abuser that's done some hideous things. We don't want to face it. We don't want to deal with it. It's buried away. I want to just leave it alone. I'm doing fine, thank you very much, as he says angrily. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy. I know when I was young, in my cups, I guess if you will, my drinking and gambling, and that was it. I mean, I had a young daughter and my wife, but it was all about me. It was all about gambling and drinking and running around, and I got married young and kind of had a grudge, like I didn't get mine, and I was gone all the time. There wasn't any going to the class plays, and I can just feel, I can get real maudlin, and it's just tough. You know, I look back, and it was precious time that I lost with my daughter, and helping her to grow up, and with my wife, same thing. No respect, doing what I wanted to do. I have an AA sponsor I've had for a long time. He when he was young, he was taking care of his young 5-year-old son at night. He put his son to bed, and he just thought, well, I'll walk down to the local bar and have a couple drinks, and I'll be back in a few minutes, and no harm, no foul. And he ended up waking up in the morning in jail. And they told him his house had burned down and his 5-year-old son was dead. How do you forgive yourself for something like that? And there's everything in between. And sometimes you damn yourself, you loathe yourself for some of this stuff that we can do. And it's like, I'm not forgiving me and God. I wouldn't even ask for God's forgiveness. I know I don't deserve it. And yet,
that man turned around. And I probably wouldn't be sober today. And he's helped hundreds of people because he turned it around. He didn't let Satan ruin. I mean, it was bad for a while. He almost killed himself over stuff like that. But he came around. And so there's hope. And that's God's hope. That's what God does. He turns even that worst around if we do these tools and do these things. And he's probably been such a huge blessing to me and hundreds of people. He's kind of the last guy on the block for some of us. And really returned me to my folks in a way. You know, I'm the prodigal, and I've come home and I've come back. But it took a while. So we're all broken. We were all fallen short. None of us deserve it. God's mercy and grace is for all of us. And no matter how bad, no matter how terrible, Isaiah 1:18-19 says, and I quote, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though our sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land." So there is hope. There's God. There's God's economy, if you will. So I promote that we do it God's way. Our job and let God do his job. We've all fallen short, but God loves us all and forgives us all in spite of ourselves, in spite of what we do, from the little to the huge. Take care of business. Take God at his word. Get willing. Do step eight. Work it. And if you can't do it, work step eight. Don't quit. Don't let Satan beat you. Just think of that story of someone that could have just be gone, and there would be hundreds of us that would just, I don't know what would have happened. So, and maybe that's why. So do, you know, do the deal and see what happens. Do, you know, be obedient then and do step nine. Just do it. Take care of business. You're not special. Your sin's not special. Your sin's not too big for God. It's not too big, no matter what you've done. Quit playing God. Quit judging yourself. God's the judge. God's God. And we're who we are. So we do what we can do and let God do his job. To summarize, simple directions, hard to carry out. Simple commandments, reads real easy, hard to do. Hard to forgive on a simple drive, a credit card. Really hard to forgive childhood abuses and things. So in wrap up, do accept Jesus' free gift of forgiveness and salvation. Do the first forgiveness. Hopefully that propels you then to forgive others and to forgive yourself, no matter how heinous, how grievous, no matter what you've done. Do the steps. Use the tools. Come here. Get sponsors, accountability partners. Work the steps. Step studies. You can't do it. Do step eight. Do the process. Don't give up. Use the tool. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible. With God all things are possible." I want to leave you with a challenge tonight. This week, whatever's irritating you, that guy cuts you off on the freeway, forgive him. Just forgive him in your mind. Take the wind out of the sails. The waitress is surly and your food's late and it's cold. I mean, that's hard for me. I go crazy. Forgive him. You know, just forgive him. You're having a fight at home, you know, with the spouse or the kids. Forgive him. It is such a freeing, if we're conscious of it and practice it, it's just so easy to do the opposite. But just this simple act of forgiveness creates such freedom. And if you can do those little things, if you can forgive your wife on the drive over
for using that darn credit card again. And just forgive her, for gosh sakes. You know, it's not the end of the world. I challenge you to do that all week and then come here next week and tell me that you had a bad week. So anyway, I love you all very much. Thank you for letting me share tonight.